from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee.
Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino
and the Music Row Show.
Keeping my waddles in check. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks for tuning in again tonight. We love it that you're listening.
Yes, we do.
This, as you probably know by now, if you've listened at least once, this show is for all you songwriters and performers and musicians out there who are just trying to figure stuff out and get a handle on how things work here in Nashville, Music City.
That's right. Now, remember, we don't know anything.
No.
We're out there slinging songs during the day just like you guys are. But we are able to bring brilliant, talented people in and pick their brains and give you the opportunity to join in the conversation as well.
Absolutely. And you can do that by jumping over to Facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Chime in with your questions and comments there. You can also hit us up on Twitter at The Music Row Show.
That's right. And Instagram, but when they can't really hit us up on that.
That's for later.
Is it? Is Instagram more of a later thing?
Yeah, that's for the after party. You know, all those pictures we take.
We have an after party?
Oh, shoot. I wasn't supposed to tell you.
Now you tell me. We got a fun show tonight. We have a hit songwriter, recording artist, Jeff Bates in studio with us now.
Absolutely. And then the second hour, we're going to have singer and recording artist, award-winning recording artist,
author.
Tommy Womack going to be with us.
Womack.
Because I'm so excited. Tommy Womack.
Absolutely. Well, Hino, let's get right to business here with Jeff. Do the honors, please.
All right. Well, imagine, if you will,
okay,
a kid,
Diddly,
only 17, showing up at a local honky-tonk in Bunker Hill, Mississippi,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
not to smoke or drink, mind you, because mm-hmm, he's, you know, too young for that, but to audition. And while the audience goes nuts for this kid, and before you know it, he's playing six nights a week, a gig there, and fast forward a few years later than that, and he's moved to Nashville, and he's got a record deal, and he releases several successful albums, and playing on the Opry, playing to packed houses everywhere, and who? Who is this guy, you might ask? Well, it's our guest here this hour, Jeff Bates. He's a recording artist, hit songwriter. He's got a brand new project out that we're very excited about. We've been listening to all week long. It's called Conway and Me. Me and Conway. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic sometimes.
It didn't rhyme as well.
It did not.
The other way.
Yeah, that's true. But in any case, we're delighted to say, Jeff Bates, welcome back to the Music Row Show.
It's so good to see you guys, man. Thank you.
Really good album, by the way.
Hey, and you
really
made it sound so easy. I wish it was. I wish it was that. That'd have been that simple.
You just came to town and bada boom, bada bing. Yeah.
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 We'll leave the jail time and everything.
Well, you know. Speed bump.
Well, when we last spoke to you, which was June of 2009, in case anybody would like to go back and listen to the podcast, you talked about singing since you were 2 years old.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Jeff playing the guitar. When did you start playing, and how did that guitar, what did the guitar do for you socially?
Well, I was going to church a little bit because I like this little blonde girl named Margaret Sue McCain.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Margaret Sue.
And, I mean, I wasn't going for God or anything.
Well,
I mean, I'm telling you the truth.
It's, not yet.
No, not yet. But I liked Margaret Sue. And they had these great guitar players there at church, and I wanted to do that. Now, you got to bear in mind, I'm about 11, 12, 13 years old at the time. And so I got one of the guys to show me some chords on a guitar, and I told him I wanted to learn. And he said something interesting to me, and I use it when songwriters ask me, how can I learn to write songs? I said, can you teach me how to play guitar? And he said, son, if you want to learn to play guitar, there ain't nobody alive can keep you from it.
Mm.
And I said, okay, well, can you speed up the process?
and cut to the chase.
Yeah, and so he started teaching me, and my dad had bought me a 57 Chevy Bel Air.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, two-speed Power Glide. It was ocean foam green, and high gear was out in the transmission, and he wouldn't let me drive it. So I'd go out there every day, and I would crank it, and I'd sit there and rev up the engine. And a guy came along and said, hey, I'd like to have that car. Would you take a guitar and $600 for it? And I thought for about 5 seconds and said yes. And my dad came home that evening. He was really mad. He said, I was stupid. But I think I came out on the better end of the deal. He later told me it was one of the best deals I ever made in my life.
There you go. And
what kind of guitar was it?
Huh?
What kind of guitar was it?
Okay, I think a Fender. No, it was actually an old Fender guitar.
All right.
Beat up. It was beat up worse than the car was.
Acoustic or electric?
It was acoustic.
Okay.
And the strings were about a half inch off the neck.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It was good.
Perfect for learning.
Yeah. Perfect for learning. I mean, I bled.
But now you started taking the guitar to school with you.
I slept with it.
Yeah.
And I would take it to school, and I learned that when I play guitar, girls like me.
How about Margaret Sue?
Margaret Sue started dating a piano player.
Oh, piano player. You chose the wrong instrument, man.
Darn it.
Story of my life.
Darn it. If you'd played piano, she would have started going out with the guitar player.
Yeah,
so,
she ran off with him.
Doggone it. But, so you're at school and you kind of discovered that.
Girls seemed to like me when I played guitar, and they didn't like me so much when I took it off. So I wore it out, buddy.
You just kept it on all the time.
Yeah, every chance I got, I was picking it up. And, of course, then I didn't know any songs. And, you know, I was singing John Denver, I think. Stuff like that was easy to play, finger pick.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a baritone singing John Denver? That don't work. Rocky Mountain Low.
Well, since you've got your Conway project, how did you develop your love of Conway's music?
Conway, my very first concert I ever went to in my life was George Jones, Merle Haggard, and Conway Twitty.
So it wasn't a very good show.
Huh?
My goodness, that's a lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I was iffy about where I was going to get tickets or not. But George opened the show, and he comes out there, and he's, you know, and he's just singing great, and it's like, George Jones, yeah, you know, I'd never been to a concert before. And George says, I tell y'all what, y'all keep on carrying on like this, we liable to be here all night. And then he walked off stage the next time. So I was like, I was ticked, you know. Lied.
After how many songs?
It was like five or six songs.
Okay.
But Merle came out, played great, sung great. Wow, we have an audience.
We do. Yeah,
can
everybody.
They hear us out there?
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
How y'all doing? Good to see you. But Merle came out and sung and played great, and then every light in the Coliseum suddenly went out as soon as Merle left the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it got so dark that people shut up.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
And then all of a sudden you hear this voice say, hello, darling.
And then the crowd.
It erupted. I mean, and I knew immediately that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I fell in love with Conway and his showmanship and his music and the type songs. And then as I got older, you know, and went through so many divorces.
Mm-hmm.
been married 9 times. You know?
Wow.
No, just 5. But if you say 9 first, 5 won't sound so bad.
Yeah. You kind of get eased into it a little bit.
I told that in church. I mean, I have Jeff Bates Ministries, you know.
Right,
I go out
right,
and share my
right.
story and told it in church a few months ago. And there was an elderly lady sitting right in the middle of the church. And she says, shut up. And you can hear her. I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. She said, but still.
Dang.
But Conway, to me, what I love about Conway's music, he didn't deviate much from singing relationship songs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, every now and then he cut a story song, but he sung relationship songs. And he sung my life. When I was falling in love, Conway was there pushing me on. And when I was trying to get over one, he was helping me over it, you know. And
yeah.
It just really impacted me.
Hmm. Well, you're from Mississippi,
yeah.
As Hino said. And Conway Twitty is also from Mississippi.
Yeah.
So,
Fires Point.
So growing up, how important was he? Just was he a big source of pride to Mississippi? And how did those honky tonkers react when they started hearing you sing Conway songs?
Here's an interesting thing. Growing up, yeah, Conway was a big source. I mean, people love in Mississippi, especially, you know, because
sure.
Where I come from. That's all so much bigger than life, you know. It's not like living in Nashville. I mean, it's really far. It's like another planet, another
right.
world. Nashville is its own planet. And so people love to say, hear you sing a Conway song, they come up and say, you know, that ain't his real name.
That's right. It's Harold Jenkins.
It's Harold Jenkins. Harold Lloyd Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I know him. and be like, okay, next song. But it was a real big to him, Source of Pride. It's always been a source of pride to me. Charlie Pride. I got to meet Charlie Pride. Big source of pride for me, Elvis and Conway. And I've always done Elvis songs and Conway songs in my shows because of that.
Right.
I don't know why I never did a Steve Azar song, but
it's never too late.
Yeah.
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 We sang in different keys.
There's that.
Yeah. They make special capos.
But I've always been proud of that fact, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I go and sing in the nightclub when I was 17 that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Jesse Sarton was the little guy that owned the club. He's long since passed away, but he says, I just want you to get up there and sing 2 or 3 songs for me and let me hear you. And I might pay you $25 a night to come in here and sing on Saturday. So I got up and I sung Elvis, Suspicious Minds. I sung He Stopped Loving Her Today, George Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I sung Lay You Down by Conway Twitty. And the crowd went crazy. And Jesse met me coming off the stage. He says, how do you like to go to work for me 6 nights a week? And I said, I'd love to. He said, I'll give you $50 a night and you got to play bass. You can play bass, can't you? I said, never played bass. He says, it's same as top 4 strings on a guitar. You start Monday. Go practice. Here's your guitar.
And he gave you a bass.
And he gave me, yes, the old Paul McCartney bass.
Oh, know? Really? Oh, it was a hospital? It was
horrible.
Yeah.
I think it was a knockoff. I mean, okay. It was terrible.
Wow.
But I went holed up in my room for 2 or 3 days straight and practiced, called the oil field and told him I quit. My daddy was livid over that.
And, first the car.
Never looked back.
First the car.
Field.
Yeah. Was the oil field paying you $50 a day?
They were paying me, I think, like $220 a week for about 80 or 90 hours.
Wow. I think you're money ahead.
Oh, I came out way ahead.
Yeah.
You know, it was a funny story. Me and my daddy, he always thought that I should stop playing music and go get a real job. And I did ever so often, you know. I welded. I'm a certified welder and carpenter built. But every year he'd say, well, how'd you do this year? And so I'd say, well, I made $15,000. I'm telling you, you better come out here and get a real job with me. So I remember my first year on RCA after the Love Song came out, he said, well, how'd you come out this year? I said, $1.2 million. And he says, huh, looks like that old music business is going to do all right for you. And I said, oh, yeah. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that I got to keep like $12,000.
Yeah, the record company got the rest. Yeah,
yeah, the record label got the rest, bus, lease, and musicians, taxes, and all that. But he
you don't need to get into details.
Because he became so supportive after that, you know.
Wow.
Finally believed in what he was doing.
That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well,
We should take a
break. Oh, my gosh, it is that time, yeah.
But before we do, we should let our listeners know that this segment that you just enjoyed as much as you did is brought to you by our friends at Toyota at Cool Springs.
That is true. You know, Scott and I both drive Toyotas.
We
actually
do.
My family's got a couple of them, and we love that dealership, whether it's for service or, you know, when the time comes for a new one, that's just a great place to go.
And really, they believe in giving excellent deals and making sure that everybody that comes in there has an excellent experience. They have a lifetime warranty, unlimited time and miles on every new car, a 3-day exchange policy, and unlike many other dealerships, they're just low-key and friendly.
That's right. Go talk to George. He's the owner. Ask him to help you out, and he'll take great care of you. Find him online at toyotaofcoolsprings.com. And we're going to be back in just a few minutes with hit recording artist Jeff Bates here on the Music Row Show.
Kissable lips, first one was hard to get. She was playing hard to get, but I had a good plan. Didn't know what to say to make her lean my way. I needed help from the man with the slow hand. So I put his CD in, we sat and listened to him. He sung every word that I wanted to say. From Hello Darling, she fell in love that day with me and Conway.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That, of course, is Me and Conway, the title track of Jeff Bates' brand new project, and he's sitting here with us, singing along, kind of. So I'm just curious, you've been compared to him so often over the time of your career. How did you take the constant comparisons to him?
Not well.
Not well. Why not?
Because when you come to Nashville and you're really, really seriously searching for a deal, and it's okay to be, well, you remind me of this, you remind me of that.
Yeah.
But you have to have your own identity, and they're looking for, the major labels and producers and everybody. They're looking for somebody that knows who they are and who has their own identity. So I always felt like that they were missing who I was because of the comparison, you know.
Mm.
So, I mean, it didn't make me mad or anything. It's just like I said, well, you really need to A-B our voices because while it's a great compliment, you know, there's a big difference, too, a lot of differences.
Did you find yourself trying to alter the way you sing?
I did, and...
Also, your songs, you were trying to edge them up, trying to be a little more edgy.
I was trying to be. Mm-hmm. You noted. Yeah, I was. I really was. And finally, it just got to the point where so many people had said it, and my fans... don't care if you think I sound like Conway Twitty or not. What they want to hear is me sing a Conway Twitty song and me sing a Jeff Bates song. And so that's where kind of where the idea was born, you know.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I still work a lot and they keep me going. And I love them. They've sustained me through some difficult times and through some very blessed times.
Right.
So I wanted to give them what they wanted and do what I thought I would like.
See? Well, and let's talk about that. And we talked about it a little bit before the show. But when I heard you were doing this album, I was excited. I was kind of thinking it was going to be you doing all Conway songs. But then I was so surprised, pleasantly, to see that there were several Jeff Bates original songs in the mix as well.
Yeah.
Aside from the title track, how did you decide what songs were added in the mix? And how did you figure out how to, we were talking about how seamless it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like we were talking earlier. I mean, here's an artist who had a very successful 40-year music career. I mean,
right. It was
like 4 decades of Conway Twitty. And he changed his style. And so I knew that I wasn't making a quadruple platinum album or anything like that, that I want that set amount of space.
A full retrospective of his career.
So the best thing for me to do was to take an era of his career and pick those songs that were hit songs and songs that I feel are extremely popular and still impacted my life personally too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where his songs come from. And then I went through my catalog from the past 13 years looking for songs that I had written and I went ahead and wrote new stuff that I felt fit stylistically within what he was doing during that era.
Right.
And you said it's seamless, and I love you for it. That's the best compliment I've had all year long. I appreciate it. Because that was the goal.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah. Well, mission accomplished.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely skipped over the disco period, which is probably wise. Yeah.
Smart move.
Smart move. Well, we'd love to hear you play something. You feel like doing one for us?
Yeah, I do. There's... we have a level check on that yet?
No, it sounds good.
Sounds good, yeah. He's dropping the D.
I always think that the best I'm Sorry song ever written was a song that Conway recorded called Don't Take It Away.
Mm.
And recorded that on this album here, and it's a big hit in the live shows. Let me get where I can get a little wind.
Get it?
I've been looking for you all night long, darling. You've got to talk to me. I want to tell you how wrong I've been, and I won't do it again. You know that woman didn't mean a thing to me, and I hope I don't embarrass you too much here in front of all your friends. But I'm gonna get down on my knees. Please
let me make it right. Please, I can't give you up, 'cause you made love so good for me so long. Don't take it away, 'cause love don't come easy. Darling, I'm sorry I stepped over the line. Don't take it away, don't make me go crazy, 'cause I would follow you to the ends of my mind. From now on, I'm gonna be the kind of man that you can lean on. And when the waters of life get a little too rough or a little too deep, I'm gonna be your stepping stone. Girl, I remember all those nights that you used to take right a hold of me, and you'd hold on. Please, let me make it. Please, I can't give you up, 'cause you made love so good for me so long. Don't take it away, 'cause love don't come easy. Darling, I'm sorry I stepped over the line. Don't take it away, don't make me go crazy, 'cause I would follow you.
Go.
Yeah,
wow.
Thank you. Woo. Very nice. Man, oh thank man.
You. Very, very
so
nice.
So when you look back at Conway's career and just all the stuff that he did, what do you admire most about him, especially as an artist and as a performer?
That he had this rare ability, first of all, to know a hit song when he heard it.
Mm-hmm. We've heard stories, actually, from other artists, yeah.
His selflessness in saying, hey, here's a hit song, but it's not a Conway Twitty song. Here, Ronnie McDowell, you need to record this.
Right.
Here, T.G. Shepherd, you need to record this.
Right.
This will be a hit for you. And to be right on that, and then, above all, I think, to know himself, mm-hmm. to be comfortable. One thing I love about him is he's so comfortable in his own skin.
Mm-hmm.
When I came out on RCA, Billy Parks drove me on my very first radio tour. Conway's best friend drove Conway for years and told me all these stories. And you could tell that not only did he miss him, but he admired him and respected him greatly, because Conway was always about doing the next right thing, even at his own expense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard multiple stories about that, but those would be my things. It's know yourself and be yourself and be okay with that. And if you are, you'll find your niche and everybody else will be okay with you being that too.
I'm glad you said that, because I was trying to figure out who Billy Parks was.
Yeah.
And you thanked him in here in your latest CD, Me and Conway, which is available how and where, by the way.
It is available. I know it's in independent music stores. It's in you get a Target. You get it at Amazon, iTunes. You can also go to my website.
JeffBates.net.
Yeah, JeffBates.net. And you can order it there. And if you order it there, I'll personally autograph it to you and,
nice.
And oh. mail it back to you.
Very cool. Very cool. But I was curious, and you mentioned independent because you are an independent artist now. It means finding other ways to skin cats and finance. And
That's
I'd
what
like,
I always say. That's what I always say.
Oh, really?
Well, oh, yeah. Got to find new ways to skin the cat.
I'd like you to tell us about your friendship with Cam 2.
Cam 2 is a is part of a bigger company called Smitty Supply.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the largest independent oil manufacturers in lubricant manufacturers mm-hmm. in the country, and he just recently bought Cam 2. And Cam 2 has this history that goes all the way back to the beginnings of NASCAR. You know, I mean,
okay.
So Smitty is a good friend of mine, and I'll call him that on the air because I don't think he want me to tell his real name. He heard the music, came, saw me play live, and said, "Hey, we'd love to do something with you." And I'm obviously not going to put a product on the back of my CD that I wouldn't use myself. It is incredible product that they create. Good people, and You really should check out Cam 2. Thanks for giving me that plug for it.
Well, but it's important as an independent musician because, you know, you're trying to find ways to you know, this costs money. It costs money to make CDs, even though you're self-producing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're paying it. You're paying musicians. You're paying for mixing and mastering. And so and tours cost money. So
it all I mean, things are a lot higher than they were now. Fortunately, I have a couple of partners that realized the need for a home studio and help get me set up where I could do my vocals and stuff at home, which saves a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just got to go by the bullet and go on into a big recording studio with all it. Nashville is still full of great musicians.
The best.
And one of the coolest things I think about this is like Eddie Bear's played drums on
it. Mm-hmm.
You know?
He's awesome.
And Eddie tells me in the middle of one of these songs, what was it? I think it was Don't Take It Away. He says, "Man, thanks for giving me a chance to redeem myself." He played. I played drums on the original, and I think this guy sounds better, you know. And little things like that.
You're like, what?
And I'm like, dude, you ain't that old. But they did such a great job, and I'm something I'm really, really proud of. And back to the Cam 2 guys, great company, great product.
Very cool.
That's awesome. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to come back with a whole lot more of hit recording artist Jeff Bates here on the Music Row Show.
There's a lot of ways of saying what I want to say to you. There's songs and poems and promises and dreams that might come true. But I won't talk of starry skies or moonlight on the ground. I'll come right out and tell you I just love to lay you down. Lay you down and softly whisper.
All right. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. Our guest is getting smiling lessons from his...
Melissa's keeping him in line.
I tell you what. Give us some lessons here, too.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. We're here with hit recording artist Jeff Bates, and that, of course, was a track off his brand new project, Me and Conway. That's a old Conway tune, I'd Love to Lay You Down. That's a great song.
Thank you. I've been singing a long time.
There have been, since June of 2009, when you were last here, there have been some seismic changes in music industry and in the world of songwriting.
Yeah.
How have you evolved in your approach to getting songs out there to people? And are you still demoing them the same way? Or how are you approaching all of this these days?
Have as many people pitching your songs as possible, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And also using the... obviously, in over 13 years, 14 years, you get to know a lot of people. So I'm constantly sending something out, emailing something out, sharing it, and still, and I'll write a new song and I'll sing it live to wherever I'm at. You know, I just wrote a song called "Judge and Judas," and I've been singing it everywhere I go.
Judge and Judas?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great.
Yeah, because I want somebody to cut it.
Yeah.
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 You know, my co-writer.
Supermarket, told, wherever, right?
Yeah, my yeah. co-writer said, this would be a great Garth cut. And I said, you know what? You're right. Come on, Garth, cut it.
Come on, Garth.
Well, why not?
There you go.
Why not?
I think, you know, for me, I mean, we were talking about this while we were taking a break, is, you know, sometimes you hear artists say, oh, I wrote this song, but I don't want anybody to cut it on or hang on to it for me. I'm not. I want everybody that will to record my songs.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
it doesn't matter if two people record a song.
You know, that used to happen more, it seems
oh,
like.
Oh, back in Conway's it? Day, they'd...
Yeah. They released them at would the same time. Yeah.
There was only 10 songs that had been written during that time. I loved writing with Hank Cochran. I wrote with Hank
mm-hmm.
a little bit, you know, and Hank says, you know, he would sit there and say, yeah, I want everybody to record me. And artists, there was a time back when Hank was really popular, he was writing at Pamper Music and things mm-hmm. like that. Merle would come over and help Hank finish a song, not even put his name on it, just because they loved writing, you know, and it's become so competitive and such a dollar-oriented, driven business
mm-hmm.
that I feel like every once in a while we forget why we came to town to start
yeah.
with. I came to write a song and hopefully write a song that people liked, and I came to sing because I want to sing what you feel.
Right,
yeah.
And money was secondary. If you can make a living doing what you love doing, you never work a day in your life anyway, right?
That's
somebody
true.
Said that.
That's
somebody
true.
Said that.
Well, speaking of singing, you were originally planning, I think, to do a duet with Conway on this project, but that kind of didn't work out. What happened on that?
That was more money than I had at my budget.
Oh, just the technological?
Yeah.
Well, how do you go about doing that?
Well, what I wanted to do was I wanted to record this one particular song.
Yeah.
And pull Conway's voice off the original tape.
Right.
And I wanted him to sing the choruses and me sing the verses. Like,
cool.
And I wound up recording the song anyway, but I wanted to do That's My Job with Conway.
Oh, mm. yeah. Great Gary Burr tune. Yeah.
Amazing tune. I mean,
yeah.
what an incredible writer. But I wanted to do the verses and have Conway do the choruses, like a father-son type.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, it didn't happen. But hey, I got Loretta.
And you know what? We should talk about that when we come
should.
Back.
Yeah,
and
let's take a quick break.
I want to make sure we have time for one more song from Jeff, too.
Absolutely.
So let's take one last quick break. We're going to be back with more of Jeff Bates, jeffbates.net. You're listening to The Music Row Show. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's After the Fire Is Gone, a great track off of Jeff Bates' new project called Me and Conway. So how in the world did you get Loretta to sing with you on this project?
I begged.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of years ago, she invited me out to, her and her daughter Patsy invited me out to do the Remembering Conway show
uh-huh.
out at Hurricane Mills. And so I went, and I was supposed to sing like a couple of songs and then sing one with Loretta. And I'd already picked that song to sing with her, and I picked it because it was the first vinyl record I ever saw.
Okay.
Was Loretta and Conway, and that song was on there. So I sung a song, just me and an acoustic guitar, and then sung a song with her band, and the crowd went kind of crazy because I was singing Conway stuff. And
mm-hmm.
and she said, well, sing another. And sang another, and she just sit back in the chair over there
mm-hmm.
on the side of the stage, and she would laugh and slap her knee, and she'd get a little teary-eyed, and it was more than I could have ever hoped for, you know, like
wow.
a dream come true to be on stage with Loretta anyway. And then we were hanging out backstage, and I said, well, it can't hurt to ask her, I thought to myself, you know, so I just said, worst she could say is no, and so I said, Miss Loretta, I'm doing this tribute CD to Conway. It's called Me and Conway. Is there any way possible that I could ever get you to agree to do one of y'all's duets with me? And she said, well, sure, honey.
Simple as that.
What are we going to sing? And I said, well, we're going to sing what the song we just sung on stage. And she said, well, what did we just sing on stage? And I told her, she says, I'll sure do it, baby.
And just there like you go.
That. Said, I love you, and Conway would have loved you. And then it took, I mean, I went and cut the track, and it took like a year to get it done. It was almost a year to the day because it was the week before I went back out to her ranch to sing at the annual show again next year. And she had so many things going on that year. I think she had broken ribs and gotten burnt, and she had lost a daughter.
Yeah.
But she went in the studio, and she just nailed it.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of it.
That's awesome.
Well, before wish we my run mama out of, had lived to.
Oh yeah.
To have seen that.
Well, I'm sure she did. I'm sure did. She somewhere. Did see it. Yeah. Well, we'd love to hear you do a song before we run out of time.
Well, I do want to do this one particular song that I wrote for my mama.
Great.
Wrote it for my dad, mom, and daddy. And I just lost today one of my dearest friends for many, many years passed away. Mm. And his name's LaVon Brazil. I love you, Pod, and I look forward to seeing you again. If heaven had a phone, I'd call it every day just to hear my mama's voice and let her know that I'm okay. And I'd tell her that I love her like I didn't get to do, 'cause I got there too late and she left here too soon. And I'd talk on and on if heaven had a phone. I'd tell her about her grandbaby that she never got to see, how she looks just like her and how she acts just like me. She'd laugh and say, I told you, boy, one day you'd get what you deserve. She'd be right, 'cause there were times that I was rough on her. I'd say, I'm sorry, Mama, I was wrong, if heaven had a phone. I'd say, can I talk to Daddy? She'd tell me you just missed him. He's sitting out there on that river. You know how he loves fishing. Then the last thing that I do before I say goodbye is I'd ask to speak to Jesus just so that I could thank him for my day and all that's good and right, for making her my mama, for giving me my life. And I'd talk on and on if heaven had a phone. Yeah, I'd talk way too long if heaven had a phone.
Very, very nice.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow.
Woo. What a nice way to end it. Jeff Bates, it's a pleasure to have you back here.
Great to see you, Scott. Great to see you, Ino.
JeffBates.net.
Yep. JeffBates.net, that's right. And you're going to be touring, to playing out somewhere? People can
absolutely
come see you?
Yeah, well, you can look, catch me on Facebook, which is Jeff Bates Music on Facebook.
Yep.
JeffBates.net. We have all the tour dates up there.
You can go tour New Zealand with you.
Yeah, New Zealand's coming up, too.
New Zealand.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
I know. We ran out of time. We had so much more to talk about. You just got to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long show.
All right.
All right. Well, we got another great hour of the show coming up. We've got one of the founding members of Government Cheese. We got Tommy Womack joining us here. He's an award-winning songwriter and a recording artist and author and probably a great painter as well.
I hear he cooks pretty good,
He's a great cook and snappy dresser. So you want to definitely come back for that just a few minutes here on the Music Row Show.